Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with another one of our Survivor 38 returnee profiles. And today we're going to be talking about the story so far for Aubrey Baracco. And I'm going to be joined by a great friend of the podcast, Mary Kwiatkowski, to talk about all things Aubrey. This is the third of the returning profiles that I have done earlier this week. I spoke with Liana Boris and we talked about Kelly Wentworth. I talked to Shannon Gates all about David Wright. We've still got Joe Anglim coming up later this week and a lot more Survivor preseason content coming soon. So be on the lookout for that. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Rob has a website.com/iTunes for all things Rob as a podcast, or you can subscribe to Rob has a website.com/Survivor podcast for all things Survivor on Rob as a podcast, plus things like the RHAP, BNB, and Why Blank Lost as well after every episode of Survivor. All right, everybody, let's get into our discussion today as we take a look back at the story so far at our now three-time player on Survivor, Aubrey Baracco, and here to help us with our look back. Very excited to talk to her for the first time here on a Survivor podcast. Here is the great Mary Kwiatkowski. Mary, how are you?
I'm great. So soon you forget your devastating defeat by me and Twish. But that's okay.
I guess so. I guess so. Let's with all due respect to Mr. Jordan Kalish, let's not get carried away that's a Survivor podcast.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I thought I had made it to the big times then, but now we're really
technically
cracking.
Technically, it's an exit interview. Let's not get hung up on the details, Mary. Very excited to talk to you today about Aubrey Baracco.
Yeah. Whew. It's she had one of the more interesting look backs here to do. So
what a ride.
Glad I got the big one. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, really.
She's got two deep runs here. And to be perfectly honest, I thought that Aubrey was retired from Survivor, in talking to her, that I really felt like that she did not have a great experience the second time out. I thought that she had kind of said, OK, you know what? I played twice in a short amount of time. I'm good. And then I was really blindsided to see that she was a person that I had not heard her name floated about, that I was shocked to see that she was then back out there a third time.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anyone else who comes to mind who didn't seem like they wanted to go back and then went back and did well. Usually it doesn't seem to go that way. I was really surprised that Aubrey was coming back again, and especially when you go back and watch particularly season 34 Game Changers, it doesn't seem like it ended on a great note for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know she was really excited to go play the second time, but really just coming off that second time out there. I don't know what it was, if she was itching to get back, or she liked this idea of the format, or it just was the right thing at the right time. But so here she is, happy to see her back out there. I just was surprised that was something that she wanted to do.
Yeah, maybe the fact that there's going to be new players was more of a draw, and the fact that she hasn't played with the other people. I'm not sure if they knew going into it who the other returning players would be, but if she did or didn't know, it could go either way on that one.
Okay. All right. So a roller coaster ride for Aubrey over her two seasons, one time getting to the end, the second time that she's sort of I think that that's going to be an interesting story to explore, the Aubrey in Game Changers, because she's not a major factor, even though she ends up going, what, to fifth place in that season?
Yeah, and it's crazy when you look at it. You know, she's in every episode in both of the two seasons, but her first season, she had 60-some confessionals, and the second time around, less than 20, and making it, you know, just slightly farther the first time. So it's really night and day, and I think she plays two very different games. First time, she's really playing from the front for a lot of it. You think of her first couple days are a little rough, but and then the second time she plays, she ends up, you know, coming in strong and having to really play from the bottom the entire game.
Okay. Mary, can you tell us a little bit about what attracted you to want to talk about Aubrey here?
Well, I think initially when I was watching Survivor, especially when I was younger, you didn't have the Aubrey archetype for a really long time, archetype, for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, you'd have Cochrane and there were a few other of the sort of male nerd characters, but Aubrey was one of the real first ones that, that jumped out at me being like, oh, this is who you would be if you were on Survivor. So there's definitely that draw to it. I think the fact that she did not play three times and I wouldn't have to watch three seasons, you know, that's a, that's another draw there.
Yeah.
Footage wise, I probably still had to watch more, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, nobody's, none of these returning players played more seasons than her.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I look at season 30. So it's like so rough. I don't want to ever watch that again.
Okay. All right. So let's go back to the beginning. When we first met Aubrey Bracco, how was she first presented to us, the viewer of Survivor?
Yeah, Aubrey came in, I mean, being put on the Brains tribe, I think she knew I'm going to already have this stigma on me. I think if it wasn't a Brains Brawn beauty season, she probably still would have been looked at as the nerdier of the women. And you know, with her tribe having Debbie and Liz on it, she still jumps out the most in that. I actually thought Aubrey was younger the first time she played than she actually was. She was 29 when she played the first time, but it feels like she's younger because of how she struggles so much out of the gate. And, mm-hmm. you know, gets on this Brains tribe, and her first confessional of the season is talking about how she, you know, feels sick and is stressing out about stressing out and, you know, having a real breakdown here. So I think while at the time it made me feel very worried about her, I think she was probably one of my winner picks that season. I think it ended up being a benefit to her to come out that way because she isn't seen as a huge target early on. She makes an emotional connection, particularly with Debbie, and that really ends up helping her throughout the game. Whereas, you know, the other people on her tribe, Liz and Peter especially, are seen as being so much more out front and gaming from the beginning.
What was the problem with Aubrey in the first couple of days in Koh Rong? Was it the game? Because David Wright has a similar rough start to his game in Millennials versus Gen X. Was it the elements or was it the game, or do we not really know?
It's a combination of both. It starts out with her, you know, talking about how hot it is and sick. And she's just laying in the shelter asking for help from her tribe members and, you know, saying, like, can you bring me things? She can't even get up and get herself food and water. And there's an image that they probably played at the finale of her or the reunion show of her with mango on her face, just crying. And it sticks with you. Just I was not excited at the beginning about where her season was going to go. But then she talks in confessional about she just starts overthinking everything. She's stuck in her head. She thinks she's going to leave. And then that's freaking her out even more. And it just kind of spirals from there. Luckily, she recovers and they don't end up losing that first challenge. So I think she would have been fine if they had gone to that vote anyway. I don't think it's a, you know, Nick Wilson scenario or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I think but she says going into that first challenge, she has another confessional. And that's something you notice from that season in particular from Koh Rong. Aubrey gets a lot of confessionals either going into or leaving the immunity challenge in a spot where they don't even usually put confessionals. And pretty much all of hers have to do with, oh no, I could be going home. It might be my last day. I'm going to give it everything I've got though. And she does fine. So works out.
You know, she's really good in the confessional.
Yeah, I think she has a way of seeming logical while also emotional, which isn't a mix you get all the time. And it comes across being very authentic. So I think she pops in the confessional more than a lot of the other people do, you know, particularly on her season. And she was one of the few people who wasn't just driving into the ground like, oh, I'm a brains because I do this or a brawn or whatever. She just seemed much more in the moment.
Okay, so Aubrey on this Brains tribe, it's a hot mess. Can you describe what Aubrey's position is here in this Brains tribe in Koh Rong?
Yeah, so she's actually in a really good spot. You know, despite having this breakdown, she has a semi-alliance right off the bat with Peter and Liz want to get together the four younger people. So Peter, Liz, Aubrey, and Neil. they want that to be a pact. But at the same time, when she broke down, Debbie was helping her out a lot. Joe Del Campo, as we see later on in the season, she has a particularly strong bond with. So I think she kind of leaned on them as well. And it ends up being three pairs of two with Neil and Aubrey in the middle, being able to go whichever direction they want. So I really don't think she was in any danger. You know, Debbie wants Liz out from the beginning, and Liz wants Debbie or Joe out for tribe strength. So she's in a really good spot, actually, being someone who is both able to connect with the older members of her tribe, but also is young enough and good enough in these challenges where no one else wants to get her out.
And how do things really turn against Liz?
So things turn against Liz with Liz and Peter pretty comically are just like off by themselves all the time, talking strategy, just talking it and talking it and talking it, even when their tribe doesn't lose. They're just seen together in the water, and they're very, very cocky about talking down to Joe and Debbie, you know, making them very clear that they're running the game. And I think that turned Neil and Aubrey off from them as well. And I think if you're going to lose a challenge relatively early on, and they don't lose until episode 3 is the first time they actually have to vote someone out, and that's when they vote out Liz. It mostly comes down to people thinking that Peter is a bigger threat, but then, you know, being worried about idols and things, and it ends up kind of getting dictated by Debbie, who just really wants to get Liz out.
Now, I think one of the through lines we're going to talk about in our story of Aubrey is Aubrey's allies. And things don't always go great for Aubrey's allies along the way. But is it fair to say her first ally is Neil?
Yeah, Neil is someone who we actually don't see a ton of their close relationship when they get back together on the merge, but because they're separated in the first swap. But she's really close to him, and when Neil gets taken out due to all of the medical evacuations that happened that season, it's really devastating for Aubrey. It feels like when she, you know, finally feels in control of the game and is back together with everyone, he's immediately gone. Which is ironic, because Aubrey was actually probably going to go that tribal council if Neil had not been evacuated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that there's, from what I remember, like there was a lot of controversy over that. There were some people saying one thing, other people saying another thing, and Neil would have played his idol. And so I never think we got like a straight answer from the cast of what exactly was going to happen.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of people talking, you know, retrospectively about if Nick or if
yeah, exactly.
Pat or who would have gone. It's a very
right.
similar kind of thing. On the show, they present it as, well, it's hard to tell because Nick Mairano is the one who's really talking up that Aubrey would have been gone, but it's also shown that he doesn't
Unreliable
really know what's
narrator.
Going on.
Yeah.
not your best source of information.
The mayo jar.
Yeah, but Neil being taken out is more of a morale blow for Aubrey than actually something that affects her down the line. And I think she ends up being able to recover from, you know, the Brains had so many people together that they didn't have as many tribe members, it started to look like they weren't as big of a threat collectively. So if you lose one, then they can kind of sink back into the background. And that's when Aubrey's other connections really started helping.
Okay, so Aubrey ends up being in a tight spot here in what should be a good draw for her after that swap, right? Because she's going to swap over with Peter and with Joe Del Campo. And we have the situation where Julia is going to go to Exile Island, and then there's going to be two beauties and then Scott Pollard on this swap tribe for her, right?
Right. And that's one reason why it seems, you know, you've talked before on the podcast why it seemed like Julia was kind of in a bad spot, and so were all the beauty, with the fact that they knew that Julia coming to that tribe, they didn't want the beauty people to have more of an advantage. So there's, yeah, three brains, two brawn, or two beauty and one brawn on her tribe. And the brains want to stick together, even though they kind of collectively know that they don't trust each other in the long run. They want to get Peter out eventually, but they know that they need to stick together right here. So she's in a really good spot. And I think they make the right choice in getting Anna out at that tribal council. And she ends up also bonding with Ty here, which you know, we see is probably one of her more crucial alliances that she makes.
Yeah, who's going to be a crucial alliance across two different seasons of the show.
Two seasons, yeah. Aubrey is the tie whisperer, you know. She's not always working with him, but he has a really big soft spot for her, so that comes in handy.
Okay, so they knock out Anna Kate, and Julia Sokolowski comes back from exile. But we're going to have, I believe, one of the biggest inflection points in the Survivor career of Aubrey coming up.
Yes. When Peter ends up getting voted out there?
Yeah, she ends up sort of stuck in between the middle, between voting out Peter or voting out Julia.
Yeah, and it's a rough vote with her famous one cross out line on the Julia vote. I know she has said since then in interviews that she should have eaten the parchment and come up with better decisions. And she's known actually after this for and into her next season as being wishy-washy because of this one vote. And it's really the only time she hesitates in the season. And I think she makes the right choice, but it was almost once you've written down Julia, you kind of needed to go with it, or you should have written down Peter to begin with, because it's a 4-2 vote. It would have been a 3-3 if she had flipped the and voted Julia out. And hard to say what would have happened on that tiebreaker, but it's messy. I don't know what's worse between that and Hannah's long-winded vote.
Mm-hmm.
They're very similar.
I think this is an interesting question. So that Aubrey ends up, you know, with this label of wishy-washy or indecisiveness. And do you think, is that one of the worst things that you can be labeled with as a Survivor player? Like, is it better to be decisive and wrong? Or is it better to be seen as more wishy-washy, but ultimately ending up on the right decision?
Well, it all depends on whether or not you're talking about within that game or within playing again. Because in terms of being a returning player and playing in a second time, being wishy-washy is, yeah, one of the worst things you can be. Scheming, wishy-washy, or being known as the person who voted out your mom. Pretty much the worst things that can happen to you on Survivor, unless your name is Tony Vlachos. But yeah, I think within the game, it didn't hurt her as much, but one thing that's actually kind of important about this tribal is she's voting with Scott Pollard, who's on her tribe. And Scott is one of the people who speak out against her at Ponderosa and on the jury about her seeming afraid to make moves. And they think that a lot of her moves were made out of fear, and they didn't realize how much she was in control of her game. And it probably stems from this vote to begin with.
Very interesting, especially in light of, you know, some of the things that they're going to say about her, Scott and Jason, when we get towards the end of the season and the jury vote. OK, the merge is here, and the merge is a spot where we're going to have more carnage in Koh Rong.
Yeah, part of it has to do with the fact that Aubrey has shown herself in the tribal portion of this game to be pretty strong at challenges. And post-merge, she individually ends up being, you know, really, really good at a lot of these challenges. And so she's seen as a bit of a threat there. And I think in particular, Jason and Scott are starting to look at her as a little bit of a challenge threat. So in this first individual immunity challenge, she does pretty good on the balancing and is looked at not great there. You know, as you mentioned, this is when her first ally is going to be taken out, you know, without any control on her end.
Mm-hmm. Now, did Aubrey come into this merge in a good spot? Was she in the advantage? Give us the reminder of what the tribes were looking to do here in terms of the numbers breakdown.
Yeah, so at this merge, we've got Joe, Aubrey, Neil, and Debbie being the four brains at this point. Ty, Julia, Nick, Michelle are the four beauties, and then Sydney, Scott, and Jason are the three brawn. So it's coming down to mostly the beauties versus the brain trying to pull the brawn on either side, which is also how it was working out in the other Swarup tribe that Aubrey was not on. It was a fight for who was going to get the brawn between the brains and the beauties. So coming in, she's not in the worst spot. The tricky thing is when Debbie starts to try and make moves, because Debbie is extremely aggressive in trying to force people into an alliance. Debbie is very overconfident that she has Ty and has Nick and has a variety of people. And we get a lot of confessionals from Aubrey saying, you know, she's glad to be back with Neil and Debbie, but she doesn't think Debbie's going about things the right way. And she's just trying to stay out of it and talk to people like a normal person. And they, you know, she's... Aubrey thinks a little bit about, should I just switch over and start working with, you know, Michelle? And she feels good about Nick, but she knows that Nick is not wanting to work with her because of Debbie. So you start looking for that, you know, Debbie rough spot there.
Okay. How does Aubrey handle the loss of her ally, Neil?
Well, not great. And this, I think, just builds and builds, because she's going to lose a couple allies in this season. And even into the next season, it spirals and gets worse and probably just feels like deja vu every time it happens. Aubrey has a pretty great confessional where she talks about feeling like she's on the Oregon Trail and she's getting dysentery. And and she's also bitter because she knows that Neil has an idol and Neil decides to not gift it to her when he gets evacuated for no apparent reason. I don't know if we ever got an answer on why.
I think he wanted a souvenir. Not cool, Neil. And I like that you have brought some clips with you here today, Mary. So let's listen to Aubrey at the merge talking about Neil.
And the idol went home with Neil. That son of a bitch. Really? Neil left me hanging, but survivor's a path. You pave your way by yourself. It's like going on the Oregon Trail. You have to ford every river. You have to caulk every wagon. You have to go up the hills and down the hills. And sometimes you get dysentery and die. You have to pave your own way.
Okay.
Yeah. Friends should not let friends ford the river, if I've learned anything from Oregon Trail. And Neil should not have left her without giving her that idol.
Yeah. Neil, I think, wanted the souvenir. I think that's the Colton move, right?
Yeah, something like that. You know, it's also could be known as the Natalie move. You take the jacket, you don't give that to them either. So it's very similar.
Neil?
Neil?
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very similar train of thought there. But that's just an example right there of how great she is in confessional. You know, breaking down, she gets emotional. She's really great at coming up with these survivor metaphors.
Yes.
Which I think come across more endearing in the confessional than they do at Tribal, but that's just me.
Yeah, I agree. Now, how does Aubrey handle adversity? So when she gets a gut punch, like, okay, your closest ally is out of the game, does it make her stronger, or does it take her a little while to rebound from these types of things?
Well, depending on whether or not she loses a close ally or she loses food, both of those have a similar reaction. There's a lot of breaking down, a lot of crying, a lot of needing to hype herself back up in confessionals. You know, she talks a lot about how one bad decision can be a snowball effect and feels like that's happening. But something great that she does here is she continues to fight for it. She continues to try and make these relationships, and particularly with Sydney and Nick. And she gets lucky here. I think it's underrated how much luck is put into Survivor, but she gets lucky when she's not voted out in episode 7 when Neil goes home, and she's lucky that some of the other tribes start to sort of go at each other and there's some room there.
Okay. So how do things turn around for Aubrey to ultimately have Nick Majorano voted out?
Yeah, so where it really starts is from Sydney, because Nick pulls Sydney aside and tells her, you know, that he's running the game and he knows what's going on. And because of that, Sydney just does not like having men tell her what to do. And so Sydney approaches both Aubrey and Debbie and tells her that she wants to work with the women. She wants to take Nick out. And Sydney also then pulls in Julia and Michelle. Julia is a little more hesitant because of this, but Michelle wants to make a move and is, I think, part of the reason they start really looking towards this happening.
Mm-hmm.
The issue here is that Nick wants to make a split vote, and he's very open about telling everyone there's a split vote going to happen. And it's just the classic person who's talking as if they know what's going on is going to be the one voted out. So by the editing, you know, the audience knows what's going to happen here. And Aubrey admits in Tribal Council to running around and trying to make a plan happen. And Neil's laughing on the jury about her trying to run around and make a plan. But they, yeah, the girls all get together and they're able to blindside Nick, which gets her feet back under her.
Okay. So we have a new alliance that's taking hold here. Can you talk about this alliance that Aubrey has put together?
Yeah, so she still has her strong allies in Debbie and Joe from Brains, but she started to work with Sydney and Michelle as well. And Julia's sort of on the side there. They know that Julia is wanting to play both sides, but she's trying to pull her in as well. So that all the women plus Joe are working together at this point. And it's mostly stemming from the guys just being extremely cocky. And that seems to be a through line in her game of not wanting to trust the guys when they're all coming at her.
Okay. But there is one woman in particular who has been a rival of Aubrey in both of her seasons. And that's Debbie Wanner.
Yeah. So like we mentioned before, especially at the merge when Debbie's trying to pull Ty in, she's just really difficult to manage socially. And Debbie is going crazy, running around. And there's this vote in particular. I know a lot of people post-season spoke to Aubrey about, you know, did you get rid of Debbie too soon? Did you turn on her? You know, were there any problems there? And maybe the season would have gone differently, but it's you know, so early in the season. Butterfly effect could have happened. Who knows if she had decided to keep Debbie around. I think at this point, Aubrey knows that Ty is the key to the game. And she said this in her exit interviews. She needs to work with Ty, and Ty is reluctant to work with her if Debbie's there. So getting rid of sacrificing Debbie in order to have this key in Ty, I think, is why she goes for it. And Aubrey looks, you know, initially she wants to get rid of Julia because they know Julia's playing both sides. But when Sydney and Michelle are more reluctant to do that, that's when she needs to fall back on, okay, you know what? We don't have the numbers here to make a bigger move and keep all of my alliances. It's time to eat one of our own.
Mary, what is it about Debbie and Aubrey that their personalities are such a mismatch?
Well, Aubrey is extremely logical and she likes to gather information, but without being the one dictating every move. Debbie is the complete opposite. Debbie needs to be loud. She needs to be in charge. You know, we'll talk about Debbie a little more when we get to Game Changers, but Debbie is the exact opposite of Aubrey when it comes to how to handle people. And you know, Aubrey talks in her exit interviews about looking at Ty and knowing how you need to speak to someone who is, you know, more grounded in their emotions, and you need to do one-on-ones. You cannot be throwing out, you know, joining these alliances in front of everyone and just saying, hey, you're with us. And that was pretty much what Debbie was doing.
Yeah, that's interesting in terms of how Aubrey operates, because I do feel like that her strength is that I think that she is a people person, where I think that she, you know, develops relationships with people over time. And she's not somebody that's like, you know, boom, boom, boom. And OK, here's what we're doing. OK, let's go. She, like, she really wants to get in there and talk to people about, you know, what their plans are and build a relationship that way.
Yeah. And Aubrey knows, you know, she's able to read people and she knows, you know, hey, I don't think this person is being completely truthful. She doesn't trust Julia. And then when Debbie just lays out the entire plan in front of Julia, you know, Aubrey knows the split could go awry and needs to rework this entire plan. So Debbie is extremely overconfident. And I think one thing, you know, Aubrey and a lot of these other players who come across as more neurotic and paranoid internally, not, you know, not externally and describing this to everyone. She is able to look at things from all sides and sort of little finger it, which helps in seeing where everyone could possibly go at any time.
Okay. Can you talk about Aubrey and her feud with the pair of Kyle and Scott?
Yeah. So Kyle, Jason, and Scott are, you know, it's the same thing all over again with Nick Majorano of just being loud and obnoxious. And it's really tricky the way the show edits it, because Aubrey is one of the few people who's really going toe-to-toe with them in a lot of these individual challenges, a lot of the balance ones and endurance. Aubrey is really, really up there at the end with, especially Kyle Jason. And so I think the guys see her as a threat, but they're also, they don't trust her because of her more logical, you know, ability here, where you have some of the girls, especially Julia and Michelle, are able to kind of hang out with, you know, Kyle Jason and Scott and feel more comfortable and have that, you know, they talk about them as the pretty people and the jocks a lot. Aubrey, maybe it's partially she just doesn't feel like she can sort of put on that fakeness and you know, glom onto them and worship them as they like that the other girls are doing. So that's just oil and water. They're never going to get along and see eye to eye here. And unfortunately, it becomes a big issue because it looks like the guys would respect her for being a competitor. And in the end, they don't.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that she made a mistake with the way that she handled these two guys, or was there nothing that she could have done differently to potentially win them over?
Well, I don't think she ever really considered working with them, and I don't think she could have. I think the best she could have done is maybe open up to them more one-on-one. You see, Aubrey in the one-on-one is really where her strength is. You know, she does that with Sydney. She does that with Ty. She does it with Michelle. She's able to make these really close bonds one-on-one, but she never bothers to do that with Scott and Jason. And it's extremely difficult with the way they're acting, and they're just being obnoxious and stealing things and dumping water on the fire and all that.
She has no time for that. Aubrey.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, it would take someone playing extremely, extremely hard on all sides to be able to, you know, turn that around and go joke around with them. But I think a lot of it also has to do with Aubrey knows that she has the numbers at this point, and she can't risk losing the allies that she has in order to try and gain some jury votes from the other two guys. I think the best that she can really hope for is that they're going to respect her game in the end.
Okay, can you talk about Aubrey's role in getting Scott Pollard out of the game?
Yeah, so Scott Pollard is taken out. I think initially they know they want to get either Scott or Jason out, but Jason ends up winning immunity this round. And this is the point when Aubrey really capitalizes on all the work she's put in with Ty early on in this season. And, you know, Ty is telling her that he has idols, which is something that he's really great at and not something we really ever see Aubrey do. She doesn't ever really look for idols, but she's able to find out this information from a lot of other people. She talks with Ty some of her talks with him are him opening up emotionally to her. But one of the things she does really great in this episode is she opens up to him and she breaks down crying and talks about her heart fighting with her brain. And because of that, Ty is more incentivized to work with her than he is with the two guys who've been, you know, bossing him around and being terrible at camp. So starting with that, I think is really where she is really flipping the game here to get Ty on her side. Ty tells Scott and Jason that Aubrey and Julia want to flush the idols, but Ty, you know, doesn't end up playing his idol on either of them. And the guys go into this just thinking they've got it all wrapped up. And it's Aubrey's relationship with Ty that allows him to stick with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seems like that her superpower is the people that she can have that one-on-one with and be able to unlock them. Then those are the people that she's able to build these relationships with. And then the people that are not willing to go there with her, whether it's a Debbie or a Scott or a Jason, that those are the people that are her enemies.
Yeah. And in this vote in particular, you know, Jason and Scott, they were going for Aubrey at this time. We're trying to split the votes and get Julie and Michelle to vote for Ty and, you know, use his idol then to keep one of the three of them safe. And then Aubrey would go home in that instance if they had played the super idol correctly. So Aubrey, you know, it's a win-win here of being able to get Scott out, turning Ty, using the idol, or not using the idol, which keeps her around in the end.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so talk to me through these next couple of rounds for Aubrey.
Yeah, so Aubrey leaves that next vote and continues to keep her relationships with Joe, Ty, Sydney, and even Michelle. And I think it's underrated how good Michelle and Aubrey were getting along. And you know, you think of Michelle as riding the middle a little bit in between where Scott and Jason and Julia were and the others. But at this point, Michelle is pretty much completely on board with Aubrey. And Aubrey, you know, continues her relationship with Ty. She's telling him, you know, how happy she is for him, makes him feel like it was all his move, even though she was the one who convinced him not to play the idol on them in the first place. She ends up winning a reward, and Sydney wins a reward and ends up picking Michelle and Aubrey to go with her, which does leave Ty out, which is tricky because that's when, you know, Ty, every time he doesn't get picked to go on a reward, he flips back and forth a little. So it's just a constant role with Aubrey of having to pull him back in over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the fact that Julia was just so close with Scott and Jason, you know, makes her a pretty easy vote for this round as well.
Was it a mistake at all to take Kyle Jason out for Aubrey, where that he seemed like somebody who, if you take him to the end, that he was somebody who maybe wouldn't get a lot of other jury votes besides for Scott Pollard?
Yeah, so this vote is one that people also talk about, the Debbie vote, and this vote for Jason is... Aubrey is on the right side of the vote, but it ends up coming down to Joe Del Campo and what he wants to do. And this is where, you know, you talk about flexibility in the game, and Aubrey is flexible with her allies in that she's willing to go with them when, you know, when they don't necessarily want to do what she does. Her and Ty think it's a good move to get Michelle out at this vote. And unfortunately, since Joe is just really upset about, you know, Kyle Jason's activities around camp, mm-hmm. Aubrey doesn't feel that she can betray Joe and flip against him, even though her and Ty recognize that Michelle is playing a good game and that, you know, Jason would be easier to beat in the end. So it's tricky because I think she should have done it. And with hindsight, knowing what's going to happen to Joe Del Campo and knowing that it's not really going to matter anyway, I think no matter what, he's still going to, you know, vote for her when he gets on the jury. So looking back, it probably is one of her bigger mistakes in this game, that she could have kept him around a little more. Maybe that would have, you know, made him like her more if he does end up getting on the jury. And if he goes to her, with her in the end, I think she has an easier time beating Jason than she does with Michelle.
Okay. We touched on some of the bad things that have happened to Aubrey's allies, but we could not get through a conversation of the curse of Aubrey's allies without touching on Joe Del Campo.
Ah, yes. The curse of the meat and everything that Joe and you know,
Jeff, I will tell you what it was. I haven't eaten meat. I don't eat meat. And they had these steak kebab things. I've eaten 3 feet of it.
Wow,
man. I just couldn't stop eating. It was wonderful. And I think that's all impacted in here.
Now, if only Ricky Williams had been on The Tribe with Aubrey and Joe Del Campo, Mary.
Yeah, you had a nice colon massage. would have been a completely different story. I don't know why no one thought to do that. You know, Ty could have easily gotten down and massaged Joe a little mm-hmm. bit. Things would have been,
nobody thought of that.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Just the middle of that confessional would have ended completely differently. It would have ended with him going, "Ooh, I need to use the bathroom.
Belly hurty." Okay. Sorry. We're not going to talk about that. Okay. All right. So how does Aubrey then handle the loss of trusted ally Joe Del Campo? Because that this situation here, that she has the numbers. It's a final five. She has the numbers.
Not only does she have the numbers, it is a pretty easy ride for her to just go Joe and Ty to the end. And I think, no question, Aubrey, Joe, Ty, it's an easy win for Aubrey, maybe unanimous. And it's really rough. And you look at the two times her allies leave, and this is why I talk about luck in this game, because her two closest allies get voted out or get medevaced at very pivotal points in the season. And the first time it ends up saving Aubrey, and she doesn't realize it, but it probably ends up saving her from going home, that boat. And this time it ends up probably costing her the game.
Final destination.
Yeah, yeah. It comes back to get you every time.
Yeah.
But so she recovers, kind of, but it's you know, luck that pulls her forward, that Ty is still with her, even after her flipping the vote when he used both of his extra vote and his vote to get Michelle out the previous vote.
Okay, so at the final four, Aubrey has a lot of allies, but this ends up being a very tense situation.
Yeah, so I think at this point, it's pretty obvious to Michelle, who I would say is at this point the other person who's really looking at who can I be in the end. Because Sydney is happy going to the end, kind of with whichever side will take her. But Aubrey really wants to at this point. She's, you know, she knows that Sydney has been playing well, but has to go with Sydney and Ty. Aubrey and Michelle do not want to go with each other at all. And Aubrey manages to, once again, capitalize on that relationship with Ty and get Ty to force the fire making challenge here. So I'd forgotten that fire making, you know, it didn't used to be a given, but mm-hmm. still here for this final four.
Yeah. Fire making challenge ends up being the downfall of Sydney. And it seemed like that Sydney was most unhappy with Aubrey after this.
Yeah, I think it's tricky. She should have been more unhappy with Michelle. Michelle's the one who felt extremely confident that Ty would vote with her to get Aubrey out. And, you know, Sydney votes for Aubrey. The two of them vote for each other. And there are secret scenes and things with Sydney saying that she hopes Aubrey just can respect it, even though they were friends. But then Sydney turns around and doesn't respect Aubrey here. So I think, you know, the two reasons on the jury that Aubrey doesn't win are people not seeing her game. And then, you know, there's a couple bitter jurors, question mm-hmm. mark, in mm-hmm. Sydney and Debbie here. I think that, you know, I don't think there was a whole lot Aubrey could have done to fix those relationships at that point. You know, Sydney, if Sydney's voting for Aubrey, she's got to do the same.
I just want to say also, I love Sydney so much, and what a delight she was on that season. And I wish that she would watch Survivor and podcast with me.
Oh, she denying you?
I don't think she's watching the show. I think this is the bigger. I don't think she might not have watched an episode of Survivor since she played.
Try to get her to watch Big Brother. See if she'll podcast about that.
Maybe. She did an episode. She did a interview with me after the season, and I think I just was dying laughing for about 55 minutes. It's fantastic.
She's hilarious. She doesn't get enough confessionals for how funny she is on the season, and how she actually does control a lot of the votes. And it would have been really interesting to see what would have happened if Aubrey and Sydney and Ty had made it to the end. I don't know if Sydney would have fared better against either Michelle or Aubrey, but sadly doesn't make it that far.
Okay. All right. So we have a final three here of Ty, Aubrey, and Michelle, the winner. Anything from the final tribal council or the finale that you want to highlight in Aubrey's story?
Well, you're forgetting about that surprise tribal council where Michelle gets to vote out a person from the jury who that's sort of another thing that doesn't work in Aubrey's favor. It was bad enough seeing Neil go home once, but then he gets voted out a second time here. He didn't technically get voted out the first time. So I guess that needed to, you know, final destination again.
Yeah. And yeah, that's funny. A surefire vote for Aubrey ends up leaving.
Yeah. And it's something that she talks about a lot in terms of the jury, of getting rid of that person who probably would have, you know, pulled the half Murphy for her. Is that a benefit or not? Because on the one hand, it's a surefire vote for her and it's someone who's definitely going to stump for her. But I wonder if there would have been a little bit, you know,
backlash.
Big Brother 19 Raven syndrome of do you want a person on the jury?
That could mean a lot of things.
Do you want a person on the jury stumping for you who maybe other people in the jury are going to want to vote against just because they don't like you? Yeah. So that would have been a little tricky. It might have gotten her one vote farther, but I don't think that Neil being there would have necessarily swayed anyone unless Neil had some, you know, pull with Debbie, but I don't think that was ever going to happen.
Okay. All right. So coming out of this, so much controversy. One of the most controversial things that I have covered as a Survivor podcaster over this past decade was Aubrey versus Michelle. How did this whole controversy shape the story of Aubrey Bracco?
Well, it comes across as a couple things. Based on the editing of the show, it was mentioned a couple times. This is the first time the show really presented, here is why the loser should have won. And I know there were a lot of people talking about Michelle having a winner's edit, and she definitely did to some extent, but the show was really highlighting all of the good things that Aubrey did. And it ended up basically, you know, turning out where people, after the fact, especially the other returning players and Game Changers, looked at her as if she had won, even though she hadn't. So it's kind of the worst case scenario. You don't get the win, you don't get the money, but people are going to look at you as a threat anyway for that reason.
It's not great. It's not a great spot to be in.
Yeah, so the controversy, you know, Aubrey was great at social media and handling how all of that went down, but it must have been extremely trying to just get people both telling her, you know, here's why you should have won, and here's why, you know, everyone voted the wrong way. And then, people like, I know that Kyle Jason was one of them, after they watched the show, said, oh, I voted wrong. I should have voted, you know, if I'd seen the show, I could have voted differently. So, you know,
yeah. Well, I think it was a really, you know, annoying thing to have to deal with, just from, you know, a personal perspective on a couple of different levels. Of one, you know, that she had no animosity with Michelle, but then she has to be constantly compared to Michelle. And then you have all sorts of people that are on the internet trying to justify, oh, no, the reason why Michelle won is because of these flaws of Aubrey. And then, you know, they make all of these reasons why it's not just that Michelle is awesome. It's that they have to, you know, tear down Aubrey. And it's not a fun, you know, debate to be, you know, roped into all the time.
Yeah. And Aubrey, you know, probably respects Michelle's game and views her. And I know she learned a lot from Michelle after the fact, going into her second season. So it's tough to hear. You know, you probably think to yourself, I know I could have deserved to win, but I didn't do it. So at least she didn't say that the game was flawed.
Yeah. So she's going to come out of this season, and, you know, we have to sort of look at this all, you know, fourth dimensionally, where the Korong finale happens. And then very soon after the Korong finale, that our heroes are going to leave to go play in Survivor Game Changers. I think there's probably less than a week's time in between the finale of Korong and when the Game Changers are going to leave.
Yeah, so it's just a really rough time for Aubrey. She's thinking about this loss that she just had, and she said that she sort of knew
maybe
coming
2 weeks.
Out.
Maybe this 2 weeks.
she sort of knew coming out of her previous season that she probably wasn't going to win, but, you know, just having that finalized in front of her and then saying, okay, now you gotta go play with all of these people who are, especially being labeled as game changers from the start, is not the best way to go into a season. But she speaks about how she wants to be more assertive this time around, more confident. She knows who she is, and she can believe, you know, is believing in herself more this time, and thinks that she's going to have an easier time, you know, looking at what everyone's doing and making decisions and then just rolling with the consequences. And I don't think she realizes, you know, how much she's going to really have to roll with in this game.
Yeah, there's a lot of familiar faces there with Aubrey in season 34. Ty is going to be there. The Great Beast Mode Cowboy is going to be there. And of course, Debbie Wanner also joining Aubrey from Survivor Korong.
Yeah. And so, you know, with the exception of Caleb, the people from Koh Rong are also people that she worked with. And Debbie, you know, she didn't have the best relationship with, especially when Debbie got voted out. Ty was a little bit better, but people are seeing them as more of a pair. And it's talked about in the season that Ty and Caleb were, you know, friends outside the game. But people also recognize that Ty and Aubrey worked together a lot. And there's really two things, I think, going into this season that hurt her. And one is that she is looked at as a winner, even though she didn't win. And she decides, you know, going into this game that she needs to then align with the other big threats. She needs to set up the shields in front of her. And, you know, she can't play under the radar since everyone has just seen her season. So she does that. And out of the gate, you know, struggles with the two people she wants to align with. One being Tony, ends up completely backfiring. People see what Tony is doing and just immediately label Aubrey as a schemer for wanting to work with him. And then the other person she wants to align with, Sandra, just tells her, "Oh no, there's four Koh Rong people here. We're not going to work together."
Yeah, was it a mistake for Aubrey to try to attach herself to the threats?
It can go either way. I think if she came in and said, you know what, instead, I'm going to work with Michaela, I'm going to work with Haley, I'm going to work with some of these other people who have also played more recently and who are closer in my demographic, she might have been able to let some of those personalities jump out a little because, you know, people like Haley and Michaela were really firing to go and wanted to prove that they were game changers in themselves. Whereas, you know, Aubrey says she can't go in playing under the radar. I think if she had tried to, you know, sink back a little bit, it probably would have worked because, you know, even though she was looked at as a big threat, who's going to vote Aubrey out before Tony if they're not working together and they're on completely different sides?
Okay. Yeah, that's very fair. So things are not great for Aubrey on the Mana tribe, right?
Yeah, she's on the Mana tribe, and like I said, she tries to work with Tony out of the gate, and there's for a hot second, there's a great Avengers, perfect dream team alliance of all the big threats on the season working together, but it does not last long because
nope.
Tony and Sandra just cannot be together, and they cannot handle that. And Sandra is a little bit better at making these relationships than Tony is, so I think it works out in Sandra's favor quite a bit more. And of course, Aubrey's on the wrong side of that. So she does get on board with voting Sierra out initially because I think she's just trying not to throw out names herself. Initially the plan of trying to work with Tony and Malcolm and Caleb and Sandra, it would have been fantastic if that had worked.
Yeah, Aubrey goes to a ton of these tribal councils early on.
Yeah, and one thing that Aubrey says is, you know, pretty much from the first vote, while she doesn't get voted out, she's the sort of decoy backup vote. If we for some reason can't get Sierra out, oh, if Tony finds an idol, oh, if something weird happens, Aubrey, you're going to be the one to go. And she's told that by most of her tribe, so she just really doesn't have anyone that she can work with. The people she wants to work with are going at each other and getting voted out, and she's kind of forced to just fall in line and hope that it's not her. And there's a lot of really bizarre stories about, you know, people telling her, you know, trying to put her in positions where she needs to go, you know, divide the food up between people and just purposefully wanting to make her look like the bad guy.
Yeah. This is a sad story, Game Changers. Nobody is nice to Aubrey for a while in this season, right?
Yeah, I mean, all she wants to do is flip over and be with the people from the Nuku tribe, the other tribe, and she just never works out. You know, she goes through a couple of these votes. You know, Tony's voted out next, which is not great for her either. And then when they finally swap, she swapped onto a tribe with JT, Sandra, Michaela, Varner, and Malcolm. And already from the beginning, she knows that things aren't going well with Sandra. Sandra's got Michaela in her back pocket. Varner has told her, oh, you're too schemey, I don't want to work with you. And so her only hope here is working with Malcolm and JT. And she's really trying to lean into that JT vote because she thinks he's going to be her ticket to the other tribe if they can make it through this swap.
How does she factor into that big double tribal council where Malcolm goes home?
Yeah, so this is one thing I think that's in her favor when looking at her in terms of playing again, is that she has gone through some of the craziest tribal councils that have happened.
Yes.
She has this crazy combined tribal council with two of the three swap tribes. And she spends her time because everyone has told her, you know, you're scheming. You worked with Tony. We know that you're trying to come after people. So she sits down. She does not stand up and get in any of that nonsense with people running around and yelling at each other and talking. She tries to sit there. She tries to do everything she can to look like she's not part of the Mana tribe. And she doesn't want to be with her original people. She says she's trying to make eyes at Brad and Troyzan on the other side and be like, hey, just so you know, I'm happy to work with you. I'm not with them. Don't vote me out. I could be a number for you in the future. Whereas the other people, you know, from her original Mana tribe and Sandra and Varner are trying to act like Haley's still on their side and work that. So she's really trying to just play this under the radar and you know, makes one comment about, oh yeah, people are carrier pigeons are running around and I'm just going to sit here and my vote hasn't changed. I'm just, you know, trying to do everything I can not to be schemey.
Mary, do you think it's a mistake to let other players change your behavior where if everybody's like, hey, Aubrey, you're too schemey, is it a mistake for her to scheme less because then it really lets other people, like they're not going to all of a sudden think she's not schemey because she just stops doing it. It feels like, you know, if everybody's like, oh, Russell's always out looking for idols, like, shouldn't he just keep looking for idols?
Yeah, and it's tricky when your first season is the one where you're seen as the more strategic and aggressive player. You know,
yes.
when Tony goes out and he plays so strong his first time, when, you know, Sierra goes out and votes her mom out the first time around, these are the people who they're going to look at and say, it doesn't matter how you play in the future, you played that way the first time, and that's going to be the stick that's on you. And it's the reason why Sandra was able to win twice. It's the reason why Sarah ends up winning this season. The people who make it far are the ones who play bigger their second time around or their third time around.
So you're saying that maybe this is the reason why Aubrey feels like I need to play a third time.
Yeah, maybe third time's a charm here.
Nobody let me play the second time.
And I think that is probably one of the better things that she has going for herself, is that the last thing people saw of her was Game Changers, where even though she made it pretty far, she had almost no control over any of the game. The one time that she's safe, you know, another one of her allies goes home. She's not in control. She's not, while the people on the game with her, you know, playing are calling her schemey, that's not the edit that she gets. So unless you've listened to, you know, interviews with her or know her personally, any of these new players, they may just be looking at her from Game Changers, which is probably the best that she can hope for. If they're remembering her from Ko Rong, I'm not sure how well that's going to go.
Interesting.
Unless maybe she's got some fans out there who just want to work with her and, you know, oh, you should have won.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That
okay.
can help.
So Malcolm falls victim to the being an ally of Aubrey curse.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, nothing new with that one.
Yeah.
Malcolm gets voted out, and unfortunately, you know, him and JT and herself were the ones who were really hoping that, you know, they kind of hoping that the other tribe would be able to vote Sandra out or something like that so they could take over the numbers. But it doesn't end up going that way. Malcolm goes out, which leaves the rest of her tribe wanting to turn against JT because they blame JT for this. And, you know, this is another person that Aubrey really wanted to work with. And it was told to her once again, yeah, JT's going home. But if JT has the idol, you'll be the one getting voted out instead. So it's this rough position of she's forced to, you know, work with the people who want her as a number, but are telling her, that's it. You're just a number to us. We'll not directly vote you out yet, but you're coming. And so Aubrey decides, you know what, I'm just going to stick with JT for this round and try to do everything I can to just continue distancing myself from these other people. She doesn't want to work with Michaela or Sandra or Varner, so she just votes against them anyway, which ends up on the wrong side of the vote. You know, in her first season, she's on the right side of the vote almost every time, I think, except for one vote. And in this season, it's a lot of red text I have here of wrong side of the vote, wrong side of the vote.
Yeah, she's trending in the wrong direction. And So she's at four of these five first tribal councils, sees a lot of her allies go out of the game, but then the tribes swap again, right? And then she ends up sort of in an unlikely alliance, right?
Yeah, so this time she swaps, and these are finally some of the people she's been wanting to work with. She's finally on a tribe with Ciri. She really likes Sierra. She bonds with Brad, surprisingly. She's got Troyzan there, and so she's finally able to ditch everyone else that she used to be with and, you know, hop onto the rest of the tribe. This tribe swap comes at the best possible time for her, because if she had gone to one more tribal council with that other tribe, she's probably going home.
Okay. So it's quiet over there. They've got a lot of stuff going on at the tribe that with Sandra. And then we're going to have the whole Zeke and Varner thing happening. So Aubrey is pretty much in the background here with her tribe for a couple episodes. But now we get to the merge in Game Changers. And where does Aubrey find herself at the merge after a very rough pre-merge?
So Aubrey finds herself, you know, she still has this bond with Ciri and a little bit with Brad that she just had from that swap tribe, but she's able to finally connect with Zeke and Andrea, who were two of the other people she'd been wanting to work with from the beginning of the game, but hadn't had a chance to yet. So she's trying to get her dream team together, but unfortunately there's this big alliance of Debbie and Sierra and Brad and Troyzan and Sarah, who's flopping back and forth. And that's when Aubrey's game starts to get in the background a little bit. She's in an alliance, but it doesn't, even though they are able to flip the script on the big six, I think, or the super six alliance that was against them. So she's able to be on the right side of the vote, but she is the bottom rung in her alliance just continuously.
But it also seems like that she's really under the radar here.
Yeah, I think she is. I think this is where the being flexible with her allies is coming to bite her again. It bit her the first time when she should have voted out Michelle instead of Jason. And once again, she's just sort of falling prey to whatever Ciri and Andrea and Zeke want to do. And unfortunately, this gets even worse when Andrea and Zeke have a huge falling out that ends up tearing apart that alliance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do feel like that Game Changers post-merge is one of the most confusing post-merges to talk about, because I feel like that the sides are not really crisply defined.
Yeah, and a huge part of that is Sarah being able to play both sides and going back and forth. But there's also a lot of infighting in the sides themselves. You know, Debbie is fighting with Brad, and Andrea and Zeke are fighting. And I think all of the people who are seen as being these gamers and these schemey players are out to get one another, even though they're also the only ones who want to work together. You sort of have an old school versus new school vibe in the alliances, but the new school gamers are targeting each other.
Okay. Can you tell us, from the perspective of Aubrey, where does she factor into these major storylines in the post-merge?
So it's really tricky, because she's averaging one episode or one confessional per episode, if that. There's a couple times where she has zero. She's, you know, she's seeming to be able to read everyone. She knows when Debbie is BSing her. She knows that Andrea and Zeke need to work out their differences. She doesn't trust Michaela. She feels close with Ciri, but knows that Ciri doesn't trust her. So she's able to read everyone, but she has absolutely no pull. She's not in control of anything. She's just forced to go along with all of these different plans. No one is willing to make a deal with her to go to the final three or the final two or anything like that. Every time she talks to someone, they go and you know, tell whatever she just told them to other people. And she's just the scapegoat for every single person. No one is majorly targeting her, but no one wants to work with her either. She was asked after the season, you know, who's your plan, you know, at the final seven, at the final eight, or whoever to go to the end with. And she's, you know, literally whoever will take me.
Now, Mary, how much of this is by design where she's sort of like, okay, well, I was a target in the pre-merge and all these people I worked with went home. I need to be under the radar. Was this by design?
According to what she wants, she does not want to be under the radar. This is also around the time where she starts talking about wanting to work on her resume and that she needs some, you know, one or two big moves. And I think when you're getting towards the end of a season and you start talking about needing to make moves to get on your resume, you've already lost it. You're not gonna win anything in the game. It's the story as a whole, her whole story. She's an underdog, but she's not an underdog that anyone's rooting for. So I think she needed to. To, like you were saying earlier, she almost needed to just say, you know what, Sandra, fine, I'm not going to work with you. I'm going to come for you and be bigger and bolder in those things. And maybe she wouldn't have made it as far, but she probably would have gotten a better story.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to have the rivalry with Aubrey and Debbie come back up. How does that unfold again?
Yeah. So Debbie, much like last time, thinks that she's in control of everything and is just very upfront with Aubrey. She's telling Aubrey that Sarah doesn't trust her and that, you know, Aubrey, oh, you need to do this and you need to vote Michaela out and just things that Aubrey is seeing through completely. So Aubrey ends up using her relationship with Sarah and telling Sarah that Debbie is trying to turn the two of them against each other, which once again allows Aubrey to turn things on Debbie. It's one of the few votes that she is more in control of in terms of, you know.
I think she might have got a fishy.
Wow, look at that. I didn't think that was possible for this season, but that's her biggest move, which unfortunately in the long run probably wouldn't have helped her that much, because even if she had made it to the end, that's just another person who wouldn't vote for her. So she does manage to get Debbie out there, but in the long run, probably better to have gone for Brad or Sierra or one of the other bigger threats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in this episode, while Aubrey does get Debbie out, it's Sarah who's seen as the one who's able to pull Zeke and Andrea back together to make this move happen. So Aubrey gets the person she wants out, but isn't even really congratulated with the move.
Yeah. Steven says Sarah's playing a strong game, but ultimately this move benefits Suri and Aubrey almost more than anybody else, other than Andrea, of course. For that, they win this week's fishy. So a co-fishy.
Co-fishy. Yeah. Give it to her, because that along with her 18 confessionals for the season.
Okay.
It's really sad. This is a really sad season, going back and watching from the perspective of Aubrey.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's talk about the next time Aubrey is going to pop up in the decision making here.
So this is I think this is probably the biggest vote for Aubrey's game detrimentally is this Andrea and Zeke feud is not ending. It's two of her closest allies, and for the health of her tribe, she needs, or for her alliance, she needs to get one of the two of them out. Andrea ends up winning immunity here, and this is another thing where Aubrey and her allies, when they win immunity, they want to make these big moves against each other because it's the time when they feel safest, and they immediately come back to bite them when they're not safe anymore. Mm-hmm. So Aubrey is on the majority side and picks off one of her own ally members, which opens the door for other people to start flipping to the other side against her. I think once they eat one of their own, you know, Michaela and Sarah really don't want to take Zeke out here. And so because Andrea and Aubrey are able to convince them to do it, they feel like, you know what, all right, fine, we'll get Zeke out, but then we know you guys aren't loyal to your own people. And that's it's part of the reason Aubrey's whole alliance ends up going down here.
So does Aubrey play a part in the destruction of that alliance?
She plays a part in that she goes along with Andrea. She doesn't fight the decision at all. She thinks that Zeke is smart and can calculate things down the line, and she falls a victim to the personal idea that we need to get these other big gamers out, even if they're the ones who want to work with us. So it's good in that she's not even the backup vote here. The votes are all split between Zeke and Ty and Sierra. Ty, the bigger group, or the opposing group of Brad and Troyzan and Sierra and Ty decide to also go for each other, because I think everybody assumes that they are going to be, one of them is going to be taken off. So Ty and Sierra just try to throw each other under the bus. But they end up picking off Zeke because, you know, Sarah and Aubrey and Michaela and Andrea and Sari, they have the numbers here. And if they had just kept it for one round, you know, farther, they would have easily been able to pick off the opposing alliance.
And is it Aubrey just going along with somebody else's bad idea, or is she adding to the bad plan?
Yeah, I think she's on board with it. She doesn't fight it, but I don't even think she wanted to fight it. I think she was just so convinced that you needed to take out the other, you know, people who were looked at as being schemy. It's really interesting when she, you know, talks about how she didn't like being put in this box of not being someone people wanted to work with, and she says in her exit interview that she feels like Michaela and Zeke felt similarly to that, where they all were just seen as being these big players, and that they ended up trying to pick each other off because of that. So she fell victim to that plan, but she needed to look at the situation from the perspective of, you know, who are the people who I could ever possibly work with? Because that's where Sarah does a great job here. Is Sarah also votes Zeke out because Sarah knows that she has bonds with Brad and Troyzan and can go work with them if this doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
Aubrey doesn't have anyone else. She takes out Zeke without having the backup there that Sarah had.
So she's part of this alliance that's turned into this circular firing squad where, you know, Zeke and Andrea want to go after each other. And then ultimately, Sari and Andrea are going to be going after each other. And while Sarah is sort of, you know, forcing that a little bit, she also has the backup plan to get out and to go with Troyzan and Brad.
And Aubrey, you know, says that she's open to working with other people. She's open to working with Brad. She's open to working with Ty or Sierra or whoever, but she doesn't have those bonds set in place. She mentions in an interview that she did with you that she feels that she wasn't able to make any strong alliances in the pre-merge, that when she came into the merge, it was almost like she didn't have a pre-merge section of her game, that she's starting from scratch, whereas all these other people have built these strong alliances because everyone she wanted to work with got picked off and the other people she was left with didn't want to work with her pre-merge. So when she rolls around here, she's having to cling to, you know, Andrea and Sari and the people who are willing to work with her, even though that's not in her best interest. And she needed to spend more time making wider relationships with the people who maybe she viewed as threats, but, you know, she needs that flexibility to be able to work with anyone. She treats Brad and Troyzan very similarly to the way that she did with Scott and Jason. She just doesn't bother making those relationships. And it's not a question here of did she get the votes on the jury. It's she didn't even have the opportunity to work with them, you know, when it came to that.
Why does it take her so long to reconnect with Ty in Game Changers?
Well, this is where that luck comes back in. She's got this bond with Ty, but because he is, you know, working with a different group of people, it's only when Brad and Troyzan start, you know, telling him what to do, basically, that he falls back on his emotional buddy, Aubrey. So that's one of the few relationships that she does have on the other side and ends up, you know, coming in clutch for her here. But even when Ty is wanting to work with her and wanting to give her an idol and things like that, in the back of Aubrey's mind, she's thinking, I need to make a move. I could get Ty out, which is just not the right way she needs to be thinking here.
Okay. All right. Ty will help Aubrey survive advantage getting.
Yeah, he helps her, and that's lucky for her here, even though, you know, her other ally in Sari goes home. Sari ends up voting for Aubrey here anyway, because Sari doesn't trust Aubrey to the full extent that Aubrey would like. The vote couldn't really have gone any differently, you know, because everyone has these. It's a snowball effect. Once Ty plays his idol, Sarah has to, and Troyzan has to. So they're kind of forced into this situation. It doesn't help Aubrey. I'm trying to think if there was any way they could have saved the idols and flipped the issue is here that Ceri doesn't want to vote with Aubrey. She mm-hmm. wants to turn against her at this point. You know, they're all, once Andrea is voted out, Ceri looks at Aubrey as the next threat that she needs to take out. If Ceri and Ty and Michaela and Aubrey had all stuck together, not played any kind of idols and not set off that chain reaction, maybe they could have taken Troyzan or Sarah out at this point. Of course, Brad's on his immunity streak, so mm-hmm. that's just another issue.
Hey, Aubrey and Andrea voted for Brad the last time you had a shot at him.
Yeah, they tried.
They tried. It didn't work out. So Aubrey is ultimately going to get the fifth place, and then her number is up. Did she put up a good fight to potentially, in this no-win scenario, maybe get saved here at five?
Yeah, that's one of the better things about Aubrey is that she really doesn't give up. And even when she knows the writing's on her on the wall, you know, after the fact in her Ponderosa videos and things, she talks a lot about how she was at peace with the situation because she knew what was likely going to happen. And the most she could do is very much like Spencer did his first time around, just talk about, you know, statistics and numbers and say, hey, you know, Troyzan is going to take that goat spot at the end, basically. And if we vote him out now, you know, you in Ty and Sarah might have a better chance of getting to the end. So retrospectively, Ty probably should have done that. Didn't matter for Sarah. She probably was going to beat anyone that she went to at the end. But even if Aubrey had gotten Ty to flip and vote with her, Troyzan was still been safe. So she needed to flip both Ty and Sarah. And of course, you know, everything after the game comes out about Sarah and Troyzan and Brad having the bracelet,
the wedding ring. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think she was drawing dead, but yeah. At least she tried. And she did have a point there, at least where Ty's concerned about, you know, he doesn't end up getting to the end because of that.
Okay. So this was a great refresher on the Game Changers. Now, I am always one to talk about how when a person comes back, they play like the person who won their season. Do you feel like, is there anything that Aubrey will take away from what Officer Sarah did in Game Changers?
I think the thing that she hopefully takes away from Sarah is the ability to work with everyone, not just the people who are in your alliance, but she needs to make these not necessarily strategic bonds, but she needs to make these emotional connections with everyone. She's great at doing that with other players like Ty, but can she do that with people that she's not necessarily comfortable with? Namely, these alpha male characters are the ones that she seems to have the weakest spot with. She wanted to work with Tony, but that was because he was also seen as a threat. It's the sort mm-hmm. of the alpha males who are on the low end of the totem pole are the ones that she needs to also extend a hand to.
So in summary, that we've talked about these two seasons that Aubrey has played, do you feel like that you have a better sense of Aubrey the character?
I think that Aubrey needs to go with the strengths that she has. She can't come in trying to play a different game. She needs to resort back to what she did right the first time around, because she was very fortunate in that her game was told pretty much, you know, start to finish, every facet. The audience really fell in love with her in Koh Rong because they got to see her at her high points and at her low points, and see that she's a competitor and a goofball and, you know, and really serious about strategy and can open up emotionally. So as long as she tries to do that again and doesn't worry so much about what reputation she has, she needs to look for the people who have these emotional weaknesses and work with them. So if she gets put on a tribe with a couple people like that, that's really all she needs to to make some good bonds and go farther. She plays really well when she's at the top, but does not do such a good job when she's playing from the bottom.
Yeah, no, that I was thinking the same exact thing. And I think that what's really interesting is that when you contrast her with one of the other returnees in Kelly Wentworth, that Kelly Wentworth's Survivor career is about coming from the bottom. She's underdog Wentworth. And that's kind of where she excels, where she's down and out. But, you know, she's going to keep coming, where Aubrey has done her best work when she's at the head of an alliance and she sort of struggles to, when she's frozen out, to sort of get back in.
And part of that has to do with, you know, Kelly is a little bit more of a go-getter when it comes to, okay, I'm at the bottom, I need to find an idol, I need to use this advantage. And, you know, she was lucky that she found them, but that's not really something that Aubrey's ever come into contact with. The most is she can gather information about who has idols and advantages, but most of her strategic gameplay is a little bit more cut and dry, get the numbers, control the alliance, know where everyone's voting, adapt when need be, but she can only do that if she has the numbers at that point. When she gets on the bottom, she just struggles to gain any footing again. And I really hope going into this season, she doesn't have the reputation that she did going into Game Changers, that she's, you know, it's been a while since she played Ko Rong. Hopefully she's looked at as more of an underdog from the start, just so that people don't want to target her and would be happier working with her. Because if she can get a couple people to work with, then she's golden.
How do you think she'll do with the new players?
I think the new players, those are going to be her bigger assets here. She has a good ability to work with people who are, you know, from different backgrounds. She doesn't seem to have an age type or anything that she can't work with, because she made such great bonds with Joe Del Campo and with Andrea and, you know, Sydney, like you talked about before. So I think her issue is more going to be if no one will work with her. But I think unless she's put on a tribe of all alpha males, the newbies, you would think would flock to her for her. She comes across as more, I think, youthful even than she is. Mm-hmm. and just more, she's a great asset in a lot of these challenges, really good at the swimming and balance and not tying and not untying. She's really, really great at that. That's something, something bizarre I picked up on, is she pretty much had that spot in like every challenge.
Mary, I think she'll be really good with these new players as well, because I kind of feel like that she has the vibe of being like the cool RA. Like, I feel like that these freshmen are coming in and she could be like, hey, guys, I'm your RA, you know, that like, you have any questions about anything, you can ask me. And I feel like that they'll flock to her.
I think so, too. I think she's in a really good spot for this. You know, some of the returning players, when you have like, you know, Joey Amazing and Kelly, who come across as a lot more aggressive and out front, even, you know, just by the way they look. Whereas like her and David Wright are a little bit more in this kind of, oh, we're just trying to struggle our way along. And people want to work with people like that, who they mm-hmm. feel more on par with. You know, you can go in fangirling over Joey Amazing, but are you really going to ever be on his level?
No one is. How do you think that she will get along with the other returnees? Are there any matches or mismatches in your mind?
I think she could probably do well with Kelly Wentworth. And I think that she has a definite history of being friendly towards David Wright. I know that mm-hmm. they know each other outside of the game. She's lucky in that she hasn't played with any of them. So I don't think that that's going to be looked at as like a pair going in. I don't think any of the new players are going to say, oh, we know that, you know, Kelly and Joe played together, so we have to target them for that. I think she's probably, of all of the returning players, actually in the best spot, just in terms of recency bias towards the others and sort of big names when it comes to Joey Amazing and Kelly Wentworth. I think that the most recent, you know, perspective on Aubrey is just sort of this kind of sad ending, as opposed to a real strong big move or anything.
Mm-hmm. I think she'll be able to get along really well with all of the returning players. That she is somebody who really is able to excel in getting along with most people. David Wright and she, I think that they'll get along great. I think she can get along really well with Kelly Wentworth and Joey Amazing. That I think that he probably has a reputation for being kind of a bro, but I think he also has like a kind of a weird offbeat side that, he, don't forget, was the co-creator of the television project Mana. And I think that that's pretty kooky and weird. And I think that her and Aubrey could talk about that.
Yeah. And Aubrey was on the Mana tribe in her season. So I think that's just a match made in heaven there.
Yeah. And Aubrey also had a very good relationship with Troyzan also, who is kind of an interesting guy in his own right. And if she can get along with Troyzan, I feel like she can get along with Joey Amazing.
Yeah. And then looking at it from the other side, I know there were a lot of comparisons of Joey Amazing to Malcolm when Joe first came along. So and she worked really well with Malcolm. She loved JT. So I think that she has, the ability to work with any of these people. I don't think any of the three of them are also going to look at her as being a bigger threat or anything. I don't think they're going to come for her right away. So as long as she can kind of, her biggest strength is the ability to play subtly from an alliance position. Once she's mm-hmm. in an alliance and can control that, she's not the one who comes across as being the dictator. She's not the one who comes across as shaking things up. She's good at moving when the tide, calls for it, but she just needs to get in that position early on and then hold it.
Okay. And then Mary, last thing, do you have a prediction on Aubrey in season 38?
I am going to be optimistic and say that I think Aubrey can make it to the final six.
Final six.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm going on this. I don't want to get too much into where all the twists could skewer up, mm-hmm. but looking at this from from returning players playing on the sort of tribe-led seasons, mm-hmm. They tend to do pretty well. With the exception of, one or two notable people, I think that she's gonna go far. And I would almost rather get to six and have a really strong run and be taken out as being a threat rather than fizzling out or getting to the end and not getting the votes.
It's a testament to how well she's done to have to be in the position to have to go very far into the game to avoid the dubious distinction of doing worse every time out.
Yeah, although,
Russell Hance or the Stephanie LaGrossa.
Yeah, and you look at people like Sandra, though, who also, obviously made it really far the first two times, but then her third time playing, Sandra came into that one knowing, I need to play big because I can't do this same game, the third time around. And some people would argue that that was some of Sandra's best gameplay, even though she didn't make it as far. So I would rather Aubrey go in guns blazing, trying to play big, even if she doesn't make it as far. I think we saw from Game Changers, better to do that than to make it far, but be, down about it.
Okay. Mary, you've done a great job getting through everything with Aubrey. There is a lot here. It is very dense, and you did an amazing job of walking us through the many, many moments of the Survivor career of Aubrey Bracco.
Yeah, Aubrey, she's going to do fine as long as there's no challenge where she has to be in a Survivor match game again.
Why? She's bad at the match game?
I don't think she got a single match with anyone during the ridiculous hour and a half
her
long
and
match.
David Wright were not on the same page.
No, David Wright didn't even do much better. He only got a couple matches. No,
stink at it.
I don't think anyone was great, but
we had fun.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, Stephen Fishback is going to be in the new Playgirl magazine called Survivor Nuded Dolls, according to her. So,
okay.
I can't see them resorting to that as a challenge, but you never know. They had a dance competition once. So
You never know. And maybe that's how they'll end up if they have two tribes where it's like, Jeff Probst will ask a question and then whatever returning player you match with, that's the other person that you're on the tribe with.
Well, then I think her and David Wright, you know, are going to have a nice time together.
Okay. All right. Mary, what are you up to besides watching old footage of Aubrey?
Well, now that I'm thankful to be done with that, I can go back to watching just a lot of Riverdale. So please check out the Riverdale podcast that I do on my own podcast. If you're interested, you can head over to Kowski Cast to jump on board with that. It's a almost as ridiculous of a show as Game Changers was.
Yes. Now, Kowski Cast is only about Riverdale?
Currently, we're doing Riverdale, the current season 3, and looking back at season 1. So if you're just starting for the first time, we're also doing season 1. But I've got a couple other things in work.
Are there spoilers in your season 1 Riverdale podcasting?
There is a spoiler section, but it's very obvious going into it. You can avoid the spoilers easily. We've got a couple other things on there talking about the show Revenge and wanting to do maybe some other things down the line.
Will you have a tie-in, a Riverdale Wentworth?
Oh, that's a good one. Didn't think of that.
Farm Guy 69
episode. There have been several Farm Girl 69 jokes on that podcast. So if you listen, look out for those.
Yes. Okay. Excellent marketing. And also, Mary, of course, people can catch you on the live feed updates with Taryn as well.
Yeah, doing some of those, trying to get through this season of Celebrity Big Brother and hoping that maybe Canadian Big Brother is going to be a little more,
around the corner.
Yeah, something. Hopefully, okay. Hopefully fewer colon rubs in that one.
Fewer? And are there a lot of other Riverdale podcasts?
I don't know. There's a couple others, none that really were what I wanted. You have a couple that are just very serious, but I was looking for more of a fun, lighthearted thing. So got Kirsten McInnes on board and we're it's the type of conversation we think that people have when they're actually watching the show. So, you know, yelling at the screen, and it may not be the most highbrow thing in the world, but it's certainly fun.
Okay. Of course, you can follow Mary on Twitter. She is at Frail Mary, one of the best Twitter handles going.
Oh, thank you. I was really hoping that you would appreciate that. There's no underscores, no numbers.
Look, I am hard on some Twitter handles, and then I'm also effusive with my praise of other Twitter handles. I'm not a whole negative Nancy all the time about everything.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be in this elite club then. It means a lot to have your praise.
Yes. So great job there. And Mary, thank you again for all your hard work.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. I'm really excited to get this show going. I can't wait to see what Aubrey does and might just have to make her my winner pick.
Whoa. All right. Well, don't jinx her.
No, wouldn't want to do that because Malcolm was my winner pick last time, so.
You and a lot of people.
Yeah, it didn't turn out well.
All right, Mary, thank you so much.
All right, thanks.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Mary Kwiatkowski here on the podcast talking about Aubrey Bracco. That got me pumped up to see what's going to happen the third time around for Aubrey on this season of Survivor. So we will be on the lookout for that. We'll be on the lookout for Joe Anglum profile coming up later on this week, plus some more Survivor podcasting as well. So much content coming your way, in addition to everything with the Celebrity Big Brother as well. Thanks so much to the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. We couldn't do it all without you. If you want to find out more about the benefits of becoming a patron or being a part of our Rob Has a Podcast patron community, go on over to robhasawebsite.com/patron for more information. Thanks again so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.